Well, good morning, church. It's such a blessing for me to be here this morning, to be part of this service, to be asked and to freely give of my time and hopefully I'll try to capture in this message what this church means to me, what you mean to me, and a little bit about what this church means to our community. We're so blessed to live in this community. We're blessed to be part of a community that values our faith and that values our many blessings. It's just an honor to be here with you. So many friends are here with me, and I just I give thanks for all the prayers that you've given me this week. That I know that there's lots of things going on in close by that are going on, and so thank you for those who have lifted me up to prepare me for this morning. The scripture this morning is from Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. The church of Philippi is another church with many blessings. It was formed by Paul during his second missionary journey, and he is very fond of this church. Philippi is on a major trade route in Macedonia, which I assume means it had a strong economy. And had many wonderful blessings. Paul was very fond of the church, and according to John Wesley, Paul's letter to the church was a tender, warm-hearted, loving friend and brother presenting the essential truths of the gospel in terms of friendly intercourse. John Wesley also said that this letter should be read often as a spiritual tonic. The letter really, when you read through all of it, it talks about the blessings that we enjoy, the a Christian life and the joy of a Christian life. There's a lot of joy in this letter, even though Paul wrote it from prison. The letter is also meant to thank the church for sending Paul a gift while he was imprisoned. His message is meant to be joyous, though he is suffering in prison. Imprisonment and suffering was not impeding the spread of the gospel. His message was to rejoice in suffering, that our faith gives us hope in the knowledge that the Lord walks with us during our suffering. That is an inherent condition of our human existence. And obviously, it's a timely message right now, given what's going on just a few miles down the road with our friends and neighbors in the seven or eight counties just to the east of us. And of course, we could have been there. It could have happened to us. The suffering taking place just a few miles, as most of you know, I spent most of my career in the sheriff's office. And during that time in the sheriff's office, I was blessed to be able to go and serve a couple of communities that had been devastated by a hurricane such as this. Once was in the Miami area after Hurricane Andrew, and once was over in the Mississippi area after Katrina. And I sort of wanted to tell you a little bit about that experience so that you may know truly what's going on in the communities to our east. My experience showed me that there is a true resilience in the human condition. So when I arrived in Miami about 3 days after that storm, Hurricane Andrew went through, it was a very similar storm. It was like about a 30-mile-wide tornado that just sort of went through very fast, left foundations where houses had been, tore sides of buildings off, tore roofs off. And I got there about 3 or 4 days after the storm had passed. What I found was thousands of people responding to that area to provide assistance, some not knowing what they were going to do when they got there, some bringing supplies, some working with the Red Cross or the different aid groups, thousands of law enforcement officers like I was going down there, health people and medical people. Just so much of a response is just overwhelming when you get there. But when you get there, even with all that response, you still see the shell-shocked look in everybody's eyes in the neighborhoods as you patrol the neighborhoods. No electricity, houses down. I recall places, locations where the supplies of ice and water and food and those kind of things would be brought in. And I remember working with fellow responders to help serve the folks down in that area after that storm, and the look in their eyes as they're shell shocked and as they're trying to make sense out of the suffering that takes place after one of these storms. Same goes for Katrina in Mississippi, where the same kind of storm left slabs where houses had been. We were still finding folks in critical need 3 or 4 days after the storm. And I stayed over there for about 2 weeks. And the biggest thing I remember about going to South Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina was a Methodist church, maybe 20 miles north of sort of ground zero where the hurricane went through, that had so many abundant resources had been flowing into that church, that Methodist church out by the interstate. And all of those responding things, from anything from bath kits and toothpaste and the littlest things to the biggest things, clothes and things for children. The people there, after about a week of no electricity and no supplies, when the outpouring of that love comes through that church to that community, it is amazing to see basically the hands and the feet of Jesus touching that community in such a need. And so I wanted to just sort of describe to you some of the things that I saw, the need, the prayers for sure. We have so many folks in our church that have already reached out and have gone to Panama City and different areas to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to take our message of love. I have seen some photos of St. Andrew's United Methodist Church there in Panama City, and I'm sure maybe some of you have seen them, but I'll sort of describe the pictures that I've seen and take our sanctuary here, and one whole wall being gone and one whole side of the roof being gone. And so it is dramatic, the kind of destruction over there, just dramatic. But I saw on Facebook that our modern day sort of way of getting information, that the pastor there was going to hold service today. And it really reminds us that the facility is not our church. We, the congregation, is our church. And so, absent the building, we continue to be our church. And so we certainly pray this morning for the needs that are of the churches over in the devastated areas. And we know that we will do like Philip and try to do our best to help, whether if you're physically able to go help or if you're able to provide resources. It is truly needed. And I want to draw your attention back to Paul's letter to Philippi. And his words in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul teaches about truth in speech, honesty in action, just being just with regard to others, pure with regard to yourselves, and that these virtues are to be spoken of and praised. Do these in God, and God's peace will be with you. So I'll leave us with all of the needs over in all of the joy, I think, that Paul talks about in his suffering. Well, those folks are suffering over there. And just as we have individually in our own lives suffering, this letter sort of demonstrates the joy of Christian life and to speak of praise and praise all of those things that we have, especially in the many blessings that we have. As you know, I have the honor of serving the church, or some of you may know, have the honor of serving the church as on the staff and pastor relations committee. The committee is charged with serving our congregation by hiring lay staff members, as well as working with our pastors and the conference for the pastoral appointment process. I wanted to take time this morning to describe some of the things our team is doing to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to meet our church's mission of reach, teach, and send. It is an example of our Christian life here at Shalimar. It's an example of our staff and all the different programs we've got going on. We're just so blessed. And I want to describe some of them. I could spend hours talking about all the different programs that we do, but I want to focus this morning on the children and the youth and some of the things that we've done with our committee and with the staff to prepare for the future of our youth and children's programs. You may be aware that we brought on Reverend David Garvin to be our youth pastor, youth minister, youth director. You know, our youth today are so distracted, like we are. There's all of the knowledge of the world is in your hand and on a phone nowadays, and the distractions for our youth are many, and we hear about a lot of them. And so, as we prayed in discernment for who our next youth director was going to be, we came upon David, who's a young man that's right out of seminary. He is a pastor, and we felt like that would bring a biblical sort of approach to our youth programs. And that program is beginning to grow. David is beginning to make those connections to our youth in our community. I tell you, our middle school youth program is growing by leaps and bounds. They're always looking for folks to volunteer and to help with those programs, just because of the growth that we've seen in that. And so David will grow in his abilities to lead those youth here with us. And so thank you all that have supported that. I'll move on to the children's director, Jennifer Guidoni. I'm sure you have met her. She has been around and talked to a lot of different groups since she's been here in her time. She is a whirlwind of bringing focus on our children and just how important our children ministries are here. And I'm sure she has hit you up to be a volunteer with the program. Truly, our children and our youth are a future of our church. Growth is a big focus that we have at this point. And the children, the connection to our community through our children is where we see the light of Jesus here in our church. The programs with the bus ministry and the connection to families, Jennifer has brought a new sort of air of focusing on teaching and scripture, as well as the bringing the kids together in groups. That I think has taken a program that it was a wonderful program and just made it so much more vital and so much bigger. And so I'll put in a plug for her, for volunteers and those who wish to serve. We know that our church members are engaged a lot, but she continues to need support there. I want to talk about our Shalimar Kids Camp program, which is a program supported by a church that has grown by leaps and bounds over those last couple of years. Don Rozowski is sort of heading that up now. And it is a program that brings in kids after school or during summer. With all of the distractions and all the many things that our families have to go through nowadays, having a place where kids can go to hear a message, to hear a connection to Jesus, as well as all of those basic things that they need support for, their homework and those kind of things, is truly amazing. And I'll tell you a story. Don, if you haven't here lately been to the Wednesday night dinner and seen the tables full of kids that is sort of an outreach of that program, Don tells many many stories of how those kids are connecting back to the family that then gets engaged in our church. There's several stories of that. These kids take back a message that they've heard here in this program, small children, and take that back to their families and bring their families into a connection with our church and with the Lord. And it's truly amazing. And so I tell you, if you see Dawn around and you want to hear an inspiring message from her or story from her about one of these kids, she has lots of those stories. And so I wanted to mention that. And I'll put a plug in for the scholarship fund that helps Dawn support families and children in the program that don't have the resources to participate. That program, I think we set it up to start at about 45 kids. I think they're at 65 or 70 now. So it really is a touch to the community. The community has responded to the program. It's one of the few places where these kids can come after school or in the summer and make a connection, a Jesus-centered connection. And so I wanted to plug that. Of course, our preschool and the many other focuses of our children and children and youth programs, whether it be outreach on Wednesday evening with the youth or preschool in the teaching, my grandkids got a chance to go to that program, and it really is a connection to these kids. It brings these kids in. And so in describing sort of how our blessings support our Christian life and the joy of that, our kids in our community is our connection to this community. We all have lots of different programs, missions, outreach, those kind of things. But knowing the impact of touching our the children's lives of this community is certainly, I feel, the blessings that I want to be part of in my walk. And so I wanted to bring that message to you. Those of you that got a chance to either see Pastor Andreas last night or at the, I believe, 1107 this morning, pastor in Cuba, one of the missions that our church supports. His message is wonderful and exciting about what Jesus is doing in the world and what we are doing in supporting that in Cuba. Just one of the many missions programs that we've got going on. Our prayer teams, our Stephen ministers. There are just so many ways for us to be involved and to live this Christian life here in our church. And I just am amazed. So many of you in this room have been mentors to me, have taught me in Sunday school class or in small groups or being in here in worship. And I just want to appreciate that. And I certainly hope you appreciate that. I don't want to forget all the other staff that keep the wheels turning around here. Our staff works as a wonderful team. Everything works. The details are taken care of without too much fanfare. And seeing the kind of suffering and the kind of needs that are going on in churches to our east, continue to be in prayer for that staff, those staff members over there and those church members over there and all those volunteers that work with the different parts of the church. A long journey back for them. But that journey in suffering is described by Paul in his letter to Philippi, is the gospel is being spread. It's an opportunity. All that suffering is an opportunity to live a joyous life and to talk about and praise all the different things that that church, just as we praise all the different blessings and things that we do here in our church. We're going to talk about our lay leadership this morning and today is an example of how our lay leadership has put it together. These programs supports our many ministries. And our congregation, something that the bishop said the other day at a meeting I saw, Bishop Graves, and he wanted to remind us of, we are in covenant with one another. We have that connection to one another that sustains us, that supports us, And that covenant is really a central theme that he wanted to make sure he reminded us of. And of course, I don't want to end without talking about our wonderful pastoral team. October is our Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm sure you have seen the baskets around to leave little notes and gifts for our pastors. We are five pastors strong here at Shalimar now, and I'll give you a quick update on some of the things going on. Pastor Brad is working towards being a deacon and is a year or so away from a full deaconship in the Methodist Church. Pastor Perry is in her final steps in becoming an elder in full connection to the church. This year is her sort of final parts of that process. Her growth over the last year and a half or so that she's been here is amazing. She has truly made connections with our congregation in many parts, especially in the services to our unchurched community over at the 1107, and some of the focuses on reaching out and outreach. That's always on my heart is the first responders of our community. And Pastor Faith took over a ministry program with our first responders this last year and has really made a connection to them. Those of you who got a chance to come to the 9/11 service, that was something that Pastor Faith had sort of spearheaded and took on with a lot of other help, I'm sure. Of course, our senior pastor, Philip, we appreciate his calmness and his always bringing a message that fits into our lives, and I want to thank you. Pastor Dale has that wonderful way of communicating to the every man and bringing things down to our level so we understand it. And of course, David is growing as he is on his way to becoming an elder. He's just starting the path. And so he looks young, we know. I'll tell a story. When he was here visiting with us and we were still deciding if he was the right person for the job, he came to the 1107 with the youth group that weekend. And I came over to one of the youth that I was working with to sort of giving me some inside information on how well David was doing and if he was connecting. I said, so how is this young man David doing? And said, well, he's good, he's right here. And I did not recognize, I had met him before, I didn't recognize he was standing right next to this young man because he looks their age. And so it caught me a little off guard that he was standing there when I knew he fits in very well. One of the key things I think that we wanted to make sure though is that he was concentrating on the Bible and the principles of the Wesleyan principles of the church, and we feel like he puts that above all of the other sort of things that go on in the youth groups. The youth group is about bringing kids, connecting them to the program, and teaching them. But you have to stay focused on the main mission, which is connecting, making disciples out of these young people, because they will be the future. And so David gets that. Our committee made sure that we wanted him to understand how valuable it was. And he came in the door to us with it. And so we thank that we have David here. We have these pastors that are serving us, and we are serving with them. And certainly continue to value them, continue to pray for them. They need our prayers for sure. I can tell you from being up here and being preparing for this, I only have to do it once, and they have to do it all the time, and trying not to be too much of a bore and tell you all the things that I want. I'm sure it's a struggle for them. They and so pray for them as they prepare for the service that they do in a pastoral manner. And so in closing, just as Paul instructs the church of Philippi, we should speak of and praise all of our God-centered efforts here at our church. And we should concentrate on our uplifting pursuits that honor God. Though we fall woefully short of living up to all that God calls us to be, we should strive to live in such a way that our family our friends, our community, and all those we come in contact with will see in us a positive and uplifting example of God's grace. And so, thank you for your time this morning.